May the Lord's Spirit be upon my lips and in each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. A friend of mine, Tom Solon, who some of you know, preached last week at a youth prison that a number of us went to. And I've mentioned his sermon to a handful of you. One of the things that he said in this sermon that I found really clever and enlightening was he said this. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, "I set before you this day life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose one." Tom said, this is like the easiest multiple choice test you've ever taken in your life. Multiple choice. A, life and blessings. B, death and curses. Choose one. And it says, and just in case you don't get it, right below that is another little sentence that says, choose A. Therefore, choose life. That's what the scripture says. I bring that up because the scripture that we heard read today is about life. This is really wonderful news of great hope for us. Some of it, however, in Paul's letter to the Romans, is put in rhetorical fashion. And I don't use that word the way it's used these days most of the time when a politician gives a speech and somebody says, oh, it's just rhetoric. That's a dismissive use of the word rhetoric. There's another sense in which the word rhetoric is used by the Greeks and by the Romans of Paul's time who were trained in rhetoric and logic by the Greeks. And that sense of rhetoric is cogent argument. That's the idea of it. Well laid out so that you really understand what's being said, point by point. And Paul's letter to the Romans is rhetoric in the finest sense of that word. It is also difficult, very often reading, because he takes the steps so carefully and so painstakingly so you don't miss the point. And very often when we begin to read the book of Romans, parts of it we'll get into and we'll think, man, this is really heavy going. We're sort of slogging through this. I just want to encourage you to stick with it, because if you were to diagram it as a series of syllogisms, it really proves his case. And he really makes a very clear statement of what the faith is. And if you can follow the logic, you'll get it. It's a lot like this multiple choice test. Life and blessings, death and curses, choose one. Right? That's the book of Romans. Although a little bit longer in his laying out of the logic. So the example that we start with today is what we heard read about Abraham. And if you heard it read or if you've read it, there's this long thing about justified by works, but Abraham was justified by righteousness so that the circumcised and the uncircumcised could be blessed. And it really isn't whether they're circumcised or not, but they're, and you read this and your head sort of starts to spin as you're going through it and you wonder, what is this about? If you actually were to draw it out on a big diagram and follow each step, you'd find that it was very cogent and very compelling and very thorough. Paul is always thorough in his logic. What he's saying is this. Justification, which is a technical, theological term, which means to be declared innocent. That's what the word means. To be declared innocent. I was justified in doing so and so. I was innocent in doing that. If you are tried for something, declared innocent, it is said that you have come to the bar of justice and been justified. So to justify means to be declared innocent. Okay? We are declared innocent. We are justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. It isn't anything we did. It isn't anything we earned. It's the faith in Jesus that allowed us to be justified in a legal sense, forensic sense, We are justified by faith. And what Paul is doing is he's saying, this is not a new message. I didn't just think of this. Jesus didn't just announce this for the first time. He said, this goes all the way back to our ancestor Abraham. Because it wasn't Abraham's works that justified him, that made him innocent in the eyes of God. It was because he believed God. And that belief is what caused his justification. Now, Abraham is the one to whom God said, be circumcised as a seal, as a mark of the covenant that we have. But that was after Abraham was justified by his faith. Now, what happened in Jesus' time, since then, before then, is the descendants of Abraham, the Jews would look back at Abraham and they would say, we are descendants of Abraham. We are the promised people because we are his descendants. The mark is our circumcision that shows that we are his descendants, and therefore we are acceptable to God because we